Gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. That's Monday through Friday in the United States from 3 till 5 Pacific, 5 till 7 Central, 6 till 8 Eastern, and across the Atlantic is 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time in the New Zealand, 10 a.m. through midday. There's a lot of time zones I've got to keep in my head in order to do this show, isn't it? Yeah, and of course, at the end of this month, when daylight savings kicks in for, I think it'll either kick in for New Zealand first, I think, we'll be going to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then daylight savings kicks in again for the United States on November the 4th, and then it will be midday till 2 p.m., which will be good, because I'll be able to stay up late editing, catching up on huge quantities of scumbaggery that I need to expose, but I haven't been able to because I have to get up earlier enough to do the show. All right, now, today, we have a very special show for you and a very special guest. His name's Stu Webb, a victim, but also a fighter of the Bush crime family and the very nasty, incredibly satanic, cruel, and, well, practically alien to all humankind, Illuminati. Stu, welcome to the program. Stu, were you there? I can't hear you. You must have your mic muted or something.
I apologize. I did have. Benny, thank you for having me. It's my honor to be on with you. And I did bring a co-guest with me. If you check your number, a 952 extension there.
Oh, okay.
We have a Dr. Preston James also that's a columnist for Veterans Today.
And okie
dokie. A psychologist and an expert on the Illuminati as well. And he's done a massive series of stories on Veterans Today, so I thought we'd bring him on for the first hour. He's happy to be on with us for at least an hour today.
Okay. Is he on phone or on Skype?
He's on phone there on the 952 exchange. Do you see it?
Oh, so he's already called into the call-in line, is he?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let's just see if I can get that caller line up here.
He's an expert in this as well, and since we're going to be talking about the Illuminati, I thought it would be wise to bring him on.
Okay, let's get that sorted. Where's my conference room? There it is. Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. I was kind of in a bit of a rush this morning.
Well, you find him. I'm going to get a little bit more light in here.
Yes. There we go. And he's unmuted. Okay, Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. What was your name again?
Yes, Preston James.
Preston James. All right. And how did you find out about the Illuminati?
Oh, I suppose it goes back many years ago to clients that I had that came in that were involved in the intelligence business that had told me of the, they didn't call them the Illuminati. They called them occult-linked organizations and said it was a worldwide network related to the money changers and that they had weird religious beliefs and many of them did weird seances and human sacrifice and things. Of course, the first time you hear that, it's very incredulous. It's hard to process. But in the business that I was in, it wasn't my job to criticize people or try to challenge their stories. It's just help them deal with the problems they have. But when you start hearing it a number of times over the years, and then you work with individuals that are harmed by these people, then after a while it starts sinking in. You find out that there is such an organization, that it has an invisible part to it, which is the secret occult organizations that are worldwide, these what they call the Masons, the Super Masons, the OTO. Most of the Masons know nothing, but when they get to the higher levels, they bring them into blood sacrifice groups like the OTO and other groups that are all related to various high-level organizations. And, of course, anybody that really studies this finds out that you have the secret part and then you have the visible part. And the visible part really is what we have in Congress in the United States today. We have a gangster government that Congress has been compromised, taken over, and congressmen are blackmailed and what I called re-socialized to be under the control of these people. So it's much easier to see the handiwork of these people than it actually is to study them in person. Now, of course, the first person to really tangle with them and expose them publicly, of course, as you know, is Stu Webb, and he paid a tremendous price for it. He's a miracle. In fact, he's still alive, and now they're leaving him alone. But he's the only person that ever tangled with him directly and survived that I know of. And, of course, he verified a lot of the things that I had been told I didn't know about, but Stu lived it and survived and has written about it and talked about it. So he's a real important witness to how this all started in this country and how they've, taken over government. And I really like to hear, Stu, how you figured out the difference between the secret part of them that's not easily seen and the visible part that's seen in government.
Are you ready to answer that? You do realize you're muted again.
I apologize. I'm intentionally muting.
No, but Stu, you know there's two parts. There's two faces. They got the secret side that they hide in secret in their castles and do all their rituals, human sacrifice and things. And then there's the visible handiwork that we see with the Iran-Contra, the drug dealing Congress that's completely compromised, the gangster government. But how did you ever find out the difference between the two? It's easy to see corruption when you're a product of it, when they're attacking every day. But how did you figure out what was behind it?
Well,
the secret side.
Well, it was kind of a strange story. But when I was talking to an Illuminati Knights Templar type, down in San Antonio back in 1994. I was doing some speeches down there, and there was someone that I'd met when I was held as a political prisoner, and he introduced me, this high-level person involved in all kinds of notorious stuff for Daddy Bush. And I was sitting there talking to him and told him about this story in 1984, about 3 weeks before my daughter was born, and which was Leonard Bellman's daughter that I was married to. And that we had the goat-headed demon in our bedroom, and I cast him out in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the guy freaked out, and he had said, his words were, "You saw the goat, and you're still alive to talk about it?" And he asked me how it happened. Well, I told him, he clammed up. But that's when I first discovered that there was something wrong with these people. And then it led to, investigations. And by 1995, I had the chance to meet someone else out in Colorado that was a little bit aware, a shadow government type that was more or less retired at the time. And he was kind of informed. And as he said, we're standing on top of a mountain. in Colorado, where he lives. And he made the statement, when I asked him about this, whether they were doing these satanic worships, of which I was told in 1994, and he says, I can't talk about it. I said, why not? He said, they can hear us. And I said, what do you mean they can hear us? He said, they're all around us. You can't see them. And he says, they run back and tattletale. I said, okay, I understand. In other words, demons. He says, yes. So this is kind of where it led me. I kept digging and digging and so forth. And then I found out that they were doing it, that I had heard downtown Denver, and then I heard this place called the Kimball Castle out in Sedalia. At one time, they were doing it there. It wasn't. It turned out to be the old Nabari downtown, Denver, Colorado. It's an old whorehouse slash casino that's a monument that Leonard Melman owns. And it's what they classify as the Museum of Western Art, of which nobody's even allowed to go in the place. And it's across from the Brown Palace Hotel, which is a quite a famous hotel that they've done a lot of business out of over the years. But there's tunnels running underneath out of the Ship's Tavern, where the door is actually unlocked on the night of June 21st, because they do it between the witching hour of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. On June 21st, and December 22nd from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. or 12 o'clock until 3 a.m. Denver time. And so this year, I put the story up on Veterans Today, and someone inside intelligence put it into the Amber Alert system that they were going to be kidnapping a child, an infant, from a hospital, because the younger, the better the sacrifice, the more power they derive, supposedly, from Satan. So they were going to be doing the sacrifice and intentionally kidnap a kid. Well, the Amber Alert system was lit up so heavy that every cop had been notified, of course, and all the hospitals, and they were all secure. So no child was kidnapped. Well, an ironic twist happened, and I had said in the story that I posted on Veterans Today on the 9th of June that it would occur sometime, the kidnapping, between the 17th and the 21st, the night of the 20th. And on the 17th, the police busted a guy, a black man, wanted out of Dallas, Texas, in Oklahoma City, outside Oklahoma City, and they busted him for trying to kidnap a child that was just a little bit younger, 2 years of age. So they tried to get a two-year-old or younger, preferably an infant, for these two sacrifices in Denver. And they actually busted him, grabbed him. He's holding a knife to the kid's neck, and the cops are asking why he's doing this. And he says, I'm kidnapping it for the Illuminati sacrifice, for the Illuminati. And the police actually said that the Illuminati is a satanic occult that does human sacrifices that they had learned on June the 21st of each year. So they actually didn't get to perform, what I understand. There were people in the intelligence world that were all lit up on this, did me a favor. People staked the place out. Nobody saw any infants or any kids being taken in there unless they were able to get them in some way they couldn't see it. So I think we actually, Vinny, after reporting on this since 2001 in December, this was the first time we actually got them caught, should we say, and I believe that they did not actually perform their sacrifice on June the 21st. Well, this screws up their time frame. This screws up things because the devil comes up to tell them their future and things. And these, you know, as a favor, oh, you're to start wars in this period of time, or you're not to start a war. So I believe that there may have been things that occurred that if you look at the bigger picture right now and the big lies by Obama and Kerry and how they have been pushing for this World War III with Syria and to cause World War III, and now they're going after Iran, and that didn't work. So now we're back to the get the guns because the American people are mad. You can see the pattern here with the shooting yesterday and so forth. And there's a pattern here where you can see that, they're quite nervous because Dr. Preston James has explained in his series of stories, and he's done some really masterpieces on this, that they're getting ready to go down. And the bankers, these are the Illuminati. Their banks are ready to collapse. They've screwed everybody financially. They've stolen, wrote $100 trillion worth of mortgages that they derivatized to 5,000 trillion, five quadrillion dollars. And the banks are sitting there with 8 out of 10 of their assets at Bank of America, as an example, of those bad mortgages that they were creating out of thin air. They had no houses to back them. Some of them duplicated many times over. And they're not classified as non-performing assets on the books of Bank of America. And they're ready to collapse over this. So what they've tried to do is this Ponzi scheme, intentionally, of continuing their game as long as they could, hoping that they could work themselves out of it by 2016, out of the financial bind that they're in, that, you know, they've collapsed the entire economies of the world, they've taken over the economies, but they're in trouble right now. And Preston, would you like to add to that? I mean, you've done some masterpieces.
I think my point is, I think you're the first person to really expose that there is a connection between the corruption in our visible world with this esoteric satanic kingdom. You're the first person ever to expose it. See, I always had trouble understanding why, you know, how can Congress be so easily corrupted? How can people be blackmailed? Why do we have 30 to 40% of the people in Congress? Why are they pedophiles, known pedophiles? Why do we have people going to Congress and being re-socialized and turning into monsters? Why do we have all these wars where the United States, the greatest country in the world, has been completely gangsterized, turned into a world gangster, goes around murdering innocent people, blowing them up with cruise missiles and doing all these terrible things, fighting Israel's wars? How could we ever get to this place? And I could never explain it until I learned about the esoteric side of it. But I think you were the first one that ever really exposed this connection. People had talked about it, but see, you lived it, Stu, and you're the only one I know of that survived being in that
situation.
Well,
Preston, we're coming to break now, so we'll continue on this after the break. And I told Stu before, you know, what occurs to me is that he said his house burned down, ladies and gentlemen, and so many other things have tried to kill him a number of times. And what he embodies is simply the triumph of the human spirit over evil, right, basically. We'll be right back.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated, organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak-parroting, puppet gangsters, using all the gangster, deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman...
Welcome back.
...deadly gangsters... the judges and the police trick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the show that goes where everybody else dares to tread, even the humor amidst the dread. My very special guests are Stu Webb. Oh my god, that rhymed too. And Preston James. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Preston, you were talking about how Stu's kind of the first person to link this sort of satanic agenda to the gangster, bangster, something else that rhymes with anchor sort of people. And what is your personal experience in all of this? How did you find out about all of this?
Well, I was in the business as a licensed marriage and family therapist and a licensed psychologist for over 30 years, and I had, because my father had been a colonel in the military and also involved in military intelligence, had probably, because of that, a lot of people in the intelligence business would come to me from time to time. It wasn't a constant thing, but there was a fair number of them, and basically they had all the same family problems that other people have, sometimes more because of foreign service assignments and various things. And, of course, they're required to get any consultation inside their own organizations, but these people would come to me and, you know, pay cash and use what I thought was a phony name, but my job was to help them. I just would do what I could to help them, but I would ask them, why aren't you going to your own agency? And they'd say, well, we don't trust them. We have no trust in them. I said, well, why not? Well, they say, because they use any personal information against us to give us bad assignments or to manipulate us. And then it was always hard for me to understand why. It seemed like everybody that talked about the agencies and how they were run, it was always negative. So they were there. They wanted to keep their retirement. They knew that if they quit, they felt they would be hassled or whatever. But I didn't really talk to any of them that were happy. And many of them were very afraid of them. And had stories how that if anybody worked within the system to change it, they'd get charged a phony charge and sent to jail, so they're discredited and lose their job and lose their retirement. And there were stories of hundreds of whistleblowers that tried to work within these agencies that were all set up and busted or disgraced or drugs planted in their car, or you name it. So that there was a tremendous amount of fear. And I guess I thought, how can any agency operate effectively when people are afraid? And really what they're doing is covering their own backside 24/7, and not, they don't even care about the agency anymore, or their government or anything. They're just trying to survive. And but the sad part is that places like Vacaville, prison in California, there are numerous institutions around the country that are just filled with CIA people. That if you want to be in deep black ops in the CIA, chances are when they're done with you, you're going to go to jail. And they'll let you live if you go to jail, if you take your sentence, so you're discredited so you can't testify in court. I think, Stu, you know a lot about how many people were there that were sent on, you know, trumped up charges to keep them from ever talking.
Well, that's all true because, you know, when I caused those four congressional investigations back to back between 1989 through 1991, which was the HUD scandal, where they were ripping government off for 500,000 apartment units, each apartment being a unit. And it was over about a 15-year period of time. And they were getting, I think it was 9 out of every 10 HUD dollars. Milman, my ex-in-law, and Daddy Bush's partner, and Larry Mizell, the bank bailout scamps, were the primary ones, and Phil Wynn. But it was also Silverado, where Neil Bush was director, that Milman owned. MDC Holdings was the parent company. And if you check out my website, stewebb.com, S-T-E-W-W-E-B-B, in the center column, if you scroll down, you can do it on iPhones, iPads, or whatever, but there's a center column there. And there's a story on MDC. I call it Frauds or Us at MDC, and I kind of laid out specific details. You click on that, and it'll take you to the link on Veterans Today. But I caused the Silverado hearings, which was Iran-Contra money laundering. And it was so intense, it was unbelievable. And then the hearings on the Denver International Airport, that I had got those hearings. And Dick Young, a former Rear Admiral, who was a licensed attorney, testified, you know, with the evidence we had. I worked with him all the time exposing that. And then later we found out about the secret underground. But that was a $500 million airport. They went to over $16 billion. Plus they got the 470 toll road out there, privatized it just on a signature after the government had put in all the money, because they got a credit line of $20 million. So they get a toll road fee. They're ripping the people off for 100 years. And then the other was called the MDC 200, illegal political campaign money laundering, that I got popped in originally Time Magazine. Later it became the Keating 5 hearings involving John McCain, Senator John McCain, the war nut, the one that wants war all the time, that met with Al-Qaeda over in Syria, that keeps the war alive in Afghanistan because he gets a part of the cut of the drug money from the heroin that comes in the United States, and he keeps Guantanamo Bay, Cuba alive, of course. But during that period of time, what had happened was they found out it was me causing those four congressional investigations. So they decided to shut me down by issuing a warrant for my arrest, saying that I had made terroristic death threats against my ex-in-law, Leonard Milman, of which never occurred. Well, then, of course, they held me for 10 and a half months, and they tried to get me to plead guilty to a misdemeanor with a 5-year probation where they were watching me 24/7. I said, go to hell. I'm not guilty of anything. Let's take this to trial, because I want to blow it out. And so instead, they used the United States Public Defender's Office to send me off to Springfield to be evaluated by the government shrinks. So I got sent to Springfield, Missouri, where at the time there were over 2,000 Iran-Contra players. And this was all in the 1992 time frame. I was sent down there, I believe it was in February, and they evaluated me, of course, and they said there wasn't anything the matter with me and I shouldn't have ever been sent there. And they sent me there. Their evidence was a newspaper article that was created after the slander of me and demonized me, after I had already been locked up. And, of course, they violate everything. And later the charges were dismissed with prejudice against me by Judge Richard Mache. They had killed his daughter over all this to deal with the illegal political campaign money laundering to get him off the case so a Judge Feinsilver could acquit him. But while I was locked up there in Springfield, I got to know 2,000 shadow government type players, everybody from NSA, CIA, FBI, you name it, bad people. I mean, you know, people that were doing these things that Jim's talking about that were working for Gov, a lot of military people, Naval SEALs. Many people are named in a book that I hooked them up with, Rodney Stitch, Defrauding America, where my name appears. I mean, I've been written about, I think, in 10 books now. And they're written about and contributed to, and I think my name appears in about five or six of them. Some of them I asked for not to appear in early on. Just like those hearings, I wish I had testified now in those hearings rather than staying behind the scenes, and I could have. It would have changed things probably for me, and it would have changed things maybe for the country in general. But, you know, as Jim said, people being locked up, I mean, many of those people went back into the fold later on, but when Daddy Bush was in so much trouble over Iran-Contra, and Lawrence Walsh, the independent prosecutor, Judge Walsh, I give him high regards and salute him to this day, he had Ollie North indicted, he had Daddy Bush indicted, he had everybody, and here Bush is going out the door, and he gives a presidential pardon to Ollie North and Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense, and to Admiral John Poindexter, to protect himself. And then he, of course, had everybody arrested in September early on where they had done things and for the government and for the secret shadow government and everything from security frauds to drug smuggling to money laundering, narcotics money laundering, etc. And here I am in there with all these people. Well, they're unloading on me because they're facing 5 years in jail and they're wanting to talk and they knew I had news sources. So, you know, everybody was unloading on me, the whistleblower. I was the only one that was the actual whistleblower that was down there. And the funny part...
Let me get this straight, Stu. They didn't want you to talk or know the information, so they locked you up for a period of time with all the people that wanted to talk and had all the information that you wanted.
Yeah, all these shadow government players. So here I am, and there were 1,000 of them, and I get out with 500 phone numbers of their wives and sons and daughters and everybody to contact and, you know, to keep in contact with them. So that's how I developed real heavyweight sources. And
somebody once told me that we give the Illuminati just too much credit sometimes, you know. Sometimes they're not that bright.
They aren't bright at all at times, but that's how I made a lot of my real deep contacts. And from those, they gave me other contacts. And, you know, I've had dinner with probably half of those people from time to time over the years and, you know, met with them. And I consistently have my, you know, I ask for contributions so I can operate. You know, it's like throwaway telephones. I have to go to, you know, someplace like Walmart and spend $10 for a cheap phone and a $20 car. And I walk out of $33 expenses and I got about an hour and a half total time. And then I got to go spend another $20. Well, you know, I can't use the same self throwaway to call several people because it gets tracked. And so, you know, should I say I got about a dozen throwaways. And, you know, it takes a lot to bring the information. It does take money to bring the information to the American people. And that's one of the reasons I, you know, ask for contributions on this, because right now I'm disabled. I've got a broken neck as a result of a rollover. Where they tried to kill me. I mean, if you want to flash it on the screen, if you went to my website, go to archives, where it says accident, click on one of those, maybe that number 16 it says, and you can flash it and see what they what it's like to hit the concrete barrier at 60 miles an hour three times on your head. But they've, you know, since that time, that was in 2010, they've crashed me two more times, destroyed another vehicle. I haven't been paid a damn dime by the insurance companies. I finally got an attorney after two of them were threatened to go after them. They burned a customer's house to the ground that I was working on during that period of time. I mean, torched the house. It was empty. They had just inherited it, and it was kind of a sad situation. You know, I'm hoping to recover for them one day, but their insurance had lapsed by 5 days on that house. The owners didn't know it. They had inherited it. But this is the kind of things they've done. And, you know, many of those people that I was locked up with, I think there's about 20 of them dead that I'm aware of. Bob Hunt was one of them, Office of Naval Intelligence, Lieutenant Commander, Office of Naval Intelligence. He was the one that ran a Naval SEAL team that captured General Noriega. And here he is down there at the Vatican where Noriega was hiding out. And he's on a cell phone at the time, or a walkie-talkie-type cell phone, talking to George Herbert Walker Bush, then President of the United States, while Bush is yelling and screaming. He says, "You're to kill him. You're not to let him out alive. You're to kill him." He says, "Sir, I have an arrest warrant to arrest him." He says, "I'm going to bring him to justice. I'm not going to kill him." And he says, "If you do that," he says, "I'll lock you up forever." He says, "F you, Mr. President. I'm going to do my job, what I was ordered to do." And that's what he did. He brought him justice. Well, Bob's down there walking around the prison in full military uniform without any insignias on and held as a prisoner for 6 months to put him out of commission and pay him back and punish him because he didn't kill Manuel Noriega, who was Daddy Bush's partner in drugs in Panama. And the only reason we ever invaded Panama is because Noriega wanted more money of his cut of the drugs. And so he nationalized the Hilton Hotel Corporation, some other buildings that Milman and Miza and Daddy Bush owned together. And that was the reason we invaded. So here it is, a personal thing, and drugs, narcotics, illegal narcotics, smuggling in the U.S. and so forth. And we invade another country over that and killed as many people as what we did in Panama. This is a typical control that they have over the U.S. And Jim, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think it's, they destroyed a few blocks square, just burnt the people up alive in this one apartment section, and they used high-powered laser weapons, tested all these new weapons down there, and it was totally a war crime, the whole thing top to bottom, and you're right, all just for drugs. And here, some experts that have retired from the DEA have said that if the illegal drug trade was ever cut off, the Wall Street banks would go under in 1 month. So here we have the United States with the biggest business that we have now is drugs. What, our whole country seems to be based on drugs. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
And, if you look at Afghanistan, if you look at the people that are on the committee to keep it alive, Lieberman and John McCain, both senators, they're both receiving drug cuts. And here they're on the Armed Services Committee. Lieberman has always been a dual citizen in Israeli Mossad, dirty. I mean, he's filthy in Milman.
Well, yeah, let's look at Pat.
He's always been Milman and Daddy Bush's stooge up there, and John McCain.
If you remember the
I reckon we could ahead, rename him. We could rename him John McCocaine.
Tiny McKee, who was a DIA agent, had a team of five agents there over there. He had cracked the whole case. They were coming back to put a stop to the illegal drug business through Pan Am. Is coming all the opium coming in, and to get these five guys, they blew the whole aircraft out of the sky, and then tried to blame it on Libya when really the CIA did it.
Yeah, and we're coming to break now, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And what I find very interesting is it's like there's something like $500 million, conservatively, according to Michael Rubin from thewilderness.com, going through the U.S. stock exchange every year. That's liquid cash. And because people don't pay their credit cards off, you need that liquid cash in order to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. We'll be right back.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm showing it on the screen behind me for those of you who are watching on YouTube. There is a car here is very remarkably smashed up. Were you in that freaking costume?
60 miles. An hour on the freeway, they hit me in the left rear, flipped me in right in the middle of the lane, and the vehicle just went right in towards the barriers. I'm rolling on the two tires, and I flipped three times and hit my head three times, on the concrete barrier. Broke my neck in six places.
Cow, man. But see, they don't mess around, do they? It's just kind of like Here's what I've been trying to explain people to for a long time. They're like, oh, why would somebody do that? You know, I'd never ruthlessly try and exterminate somebody or start proxy wars that would wind up murdering a million people. Yeah, but you're not a psychopathic control freak who's possessed by a demon, bro.
That's very
all right.
True. And, you know, ask Dr. Preston James what happened to him the other night. Preston?
Yes, I'm here, yes. Yeah, these people,
what happened.
Real life.
He just showed a picture of that where they rolled me on the freeway.
Someone was with me. We were in the car. The car pulled up behind me, and this guy had a device maybe 4 inches wide by maybe eight inches long and about 4 inches deep, stuck on a big suction cup right on his windshield, right over his steering wheel, and he had his face in front of it, so it was obstructing his view. Pulled in behind me and turned on a laser light. Now, this is during broad daylight. It was a very powerful laser, so it shined into my eyes through the mirror, but it made us nauseated and we started to pass out. So I hit the brakes real hard, broke the line of sight of this guy, and then he went around me and I could see what he was doing. But it was a real strange looking guy. He looked like a Ichabod Crane or something in his tiny little car, and he was driving from this box rather than looking at the front of the car, through the windshield. It was obstructing his view. It was very strange. But what they do is they will hit you with some kind of laser, and if you don't break the light chain, it'll knock you out, and then that's how they do a lot of car accidents. And they work with other team members, and they'll tag team you, clip in on your sides of your car and try to flip you over. So the game is real, but the thing is God's protected me many times, and I thank him for that, but I think he raises people up like Stu to expose this, and the fact that Stu is still here shows that God's protecting him, otherwise he'd have been dead long ago. And these people are going to be exposed, and right now they're in the process of being taken apart at the seams. People inside the government now know what they are doing. They're on to them. They're being exposed. People in the highest military positions now know who the traitors are. They're taking care of business. They know that Israel did 9/11 with the help of some of our people in the Joint Chiefs. They know the names. And in the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot of these people brought to justice one way or the other. And I think that there's a movement to take our country back.
Mm. Now, Preston, we only have about 8 minutes left in this segment, and then you've got to go. So we want to really leave that up to you and not waste our time here. So what are some of the most important things that you really want to kind of get out in these remaining minutes?
Well, I would say that the first thing is that it's important to realize that there is an occult secret world. We all see the visible aspects. We see the visible world. The visible government, it really has no power. They're just puppets. You have the secret invisible world, the shadow government, which is driven by occult organizations. There's a worldwide organization of interlocked occult groups that run the banking, and they run the oil business. They run the weapons business. They traffic in children. They buy and sell children. They seem to be obsessed with pedophilia, murder, drug dealing, and they are known Satan worshipers. Many of them would say, no, they don't worship Satan. They're Luciferians, or they worship Lucifer. But there have been people that have left those organizations that are talking now and telling other insiders that haven't reached that level what it's all about, that it's really a secret, esoteric, interlocked group of Satan worshipers that runs the world. And it goes all the way back thousands of years. Some people call it Synagogue of Satan. Others just call it occult, interlocked occult groups. But this is the real secret government, and it's being exposed. The one thing, they can't stand exposure. Every place they get exposed, they go down the tubes. And the alternative media on the Internet is their greatest enemy now. They're very upset about it. They don't know what to do because they own the major mass media. There's six banks that own all the major mass media, radio, everything, and control it. Everything is controlled through the Pentagon every morning. They have the same talking points. But the alternative media and shows like yours, Vinny, is actually getting to the point now where it's surpassing the major controlled mass media. the young people have no respect at all for the major mass media. They don't watch the 6 o'clock news, the international news. They don't watch Meet the Press. They don't believe one word the media says. They always go to the internet for their news, and they pick and choose, and they find websites where they think the people are telling the truth. And so the only thing that keeps the major media going are the big pharma pharmaceutical ads, the military recruiting ads, and advertising from these offshore large corporations that are really part of a criminal syndicate. So if you remove all those forms of support, the people themselves don't support it anymore. And what we're seeing within the next few years will be a complete decay and loss of the major control mass media to the point where they're just going to collapse. Newspapers are going bankrupt now. And the government itself is going bankrupt, so I want people to prop this up. So the whole system is coming down, like it or not. And what we just hope is that we end up with something better than what we have.
And if I may add to that, Vinny, I think that if you scroll down, I see on your screen, you might want to put back up that his page on Preston's page on Veterans Today. But if you scroll down to the very end, I forgot which story it was, Preston. Was it 01 Kingpins, Cutouts, and Aliens, I believe was the title. It was a masterpiece.
Kingpins and Cutouts, Aliens, and Hybrids.
It's a masterpiece to start with for those that are listening today that are viewing that page right there of Vinny that you have on your screen, because it explains the top of the food chain down and how the structure is. And then he's gone into some masterpieces about Space Wars 2, 3, 4, through. What are you up to now, 10?
10.
Yes.
And so there's a secret space war that's been going on, you know, for many years, ever since the 1940s. And, you know, nobody wants to get into this thing of aliens and, you know, demons and all this stuff. But it's the only way you can really explain things. It's the only way that you can explain what's happening to the world and to all the governments and the massive corruption that there is. There is a secret space war. There are cosmic parasites that are invited into these people. There are transactions made where people are approached, and if they'll kneel down, take an oath to Satan, they're promised all the riches and power in the world. What they don't realize is that they're actually inviting a parasite in to take them over. And at that point, their soul is snatched from them, and they become something unhuman. They're inhuman. And that's why they're able to do all these evil things with no conscience anymore, because they don't have a conscience.
And I do believe that this is one of the things that's quite scary for a lot of people to accept, is that there are entities that are intelligent that aren't human, and in fact use us kind of like their tools, basically. And I do believe that we're all really susceptible to this if we would accept the program. And the problem with people today is that they don't even know that there is a program. But luckily, that's changing slowly but surely. I just hope we're successful before it's too late.
Well, look at your show. Would your show have been allowed 20 years ago?
Absolutely. My show wouldn't have been possible 20 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, we have to be appreciative of the progress that the alternative media has made, because every day, the power of the occult system is being eroded every single day by the alternative press.
Preston, if I may, for a moment, you know, you come from a Christian perspective because you yourself are a Christian like I am, and we understand, you know, that there's good versus evil, and it's God versus the devil and the fallen angels. And would you be in agreement with me the fact that these so-called aliens are the fallen angels?
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think they're very deceptive. I think they masquerade, they can shapeshift, they come, they're interdimensional, and they make themselves appear as alien beings and various things, but they're really, and I've had a number of people that have investigated this tell me that they came to the conclusion that they were, in fact, demons, evil beings, that there's nothing good about them, that they're parasites. The best explanation is they're evil parasites.
Really, what it comes down to is what the Bible says, basic instructions before leaving Earth, that the fallen angels were cast out of heaven. There was a war in heaven. They were cast down here on Earth. And then, of course, God made man, us, and he gives us power and authority over them. And that's what so many people don't understand. You know, there's a video. There's an article I just put up today on Veterans Today, and it's called Daddy Bush, the Illuminati Wizard of Oz. And it's on the front of my website as well under stewwebb.com, stewwebb.com. And there's a videotape inside there from a friend of mine, Glenn Kennedy, that has a site called Project InSearch. He has on his site as well, but it's inside there. Videotape by a gentleman. Shows the people that were...
Okay, we're kind of being cut off by the break here, Stu. We'll talk about that after it. Preston, I want to thank you very much for your contributions to the show so far, and I hope you have a nice evening.
I hope you
have. All right.
All right, goodbye now.
All right, thank you, Preston. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Stu Webb, stewwebb.com. That's Webb with two B's. Back in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.